I want to start with a few questions for you. Have you ever received God's extravagant grace after you've messed up? Have you ever felt resentful of a sibling or someone in your life you thought was getting preferential treatment? Or perhaps you felt resentful that you were the good one and it's always the one who messed up that gets all the attention? Yes. Yes. Have you ever given extravagant grace or welcomed someone back into a relationship with you who has hurt you? And have you ever gone out of your way to reassure someone of your love or your friendship when, from your point of view, it was never in question, or perhaps you were reassured? I think most of us can answer yes to those questions at some point in our lives. I have been offered amazing grace in my life again and again and again. And I have certainly felt resentful of others who seem to get all the attention when I work hard and I follow the rules. And I have reassured people that I will always love or care for them, no matter what. And I have been reassured by others and by God even when I doubt. And I have welcomed people back into relationship who have hurt me. I just want to make a quick caveat that isn't always safe to do. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation, and there are times when you should stay far away from people who have hurt you. Context matters. But when it's possible and wise to be generous with our forgiveness and welcoming back of those who might have hurt us, we should. I think most of us at some point in our life have felt undeserved forgiveness, felt resentment, been gracious, and been both reassuring and reassured. We're going to look at the parable of the prodigal son. It's so well known that you just have to hear the first line and you think you know what the story is, know what it means. We can tune out those familiar passages. But there's a saying that you never put your foot into the same river twice. Think about that. Water moves around in a river. Different fish swim by. Rocks tumble around. Silt bars form and unform. Leaves fall in at different places. What we find in the river every time is different when we put our foot into it. The river might look the same, but it isn't the same river. And we may know this parable, and it looks the same on paper as it did yesterday, as it does today. But when what we find in the parable, what God says, can be different every time we read it. So try to put aside what you think you know and see what God will show us today. And what God shows me may not be what is highlighted for you. As much as possible, approach Scripture always with wonder and curiosity, even in the most familiar of passages. It might be helpful to take a look at your Bible. We're going to be looking at Luke 15. It's on page 874 of the Pew Bible. Luke 15. We're going to look briefly at the other parts of the chapter. It's already a long passage, so we didn't want to add to that, but I'm just going to point out a few things. The context for the parable is found in verses 1 and 2. Tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to Jesus, and the religious elites, the Pharisees and the scribes, grumbled that Jesus was welcoming and eating with the wrong kind of people. And Jesus tells three parables in response. The first is about a shepherd. He leaves the 99 to find the one, to find the lost sheep. The second is about a woman who has a lost silver coin. And when the shepherd and the woman find the sheep and the coin, they're celebrating. And Jesus talks about repentance. In verses 7 and 10, we see that heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. And then we get to the parable of the prodigal son. Now, prodigal doesn't mean wayward, which is often how we hear it. It means to spend recklessly or giving something on a lavish scale. Not just the younger son was prodigal, but also the father. Tim Keller writes in his book, Prodigal God, the father's welcome to the son was literally reckless because he refused to reckon or count his sin against him, or demand repayment. Jesus tells the story of the younger son first, but the second act of the parable is important as well, because both sons are lost. They just don't both know it. They're both separated from the Father in their own way, and both are invited into the feast by the Father. And while I think it's probably a little bit more complicated than this, we might say that the younger son represents the tax collectors and the sinners, and the older son represents the Pharisees and the scribes, and the father represents, you know, God the Father. Jesus was answering the grumbling with a warning about what it means to be lost, and it's not just those labeled sinners. Now, it's much easier to see that the younger son is lost. While his father is still alive, he asked his father to give him his part of the inheritance, which he would receive when the father died. That would have been just shocking to the original audience. It would have brought great shame on the family, because the younger son is basically saying, I only care about your money. I wish you were dead. Any normal father would have been greatly offended. Not only said no, but he might have disinherited the younger son completely for shaming the family. Shaming was a big thing in the culture. Beyond that, in a culture where wealth is in land, the father would have had to split the land between the sons, and the younger son would have had to have sold off his land, his family's land, to get the money to go off. Shame upon shame, hurt upon hurt, but the father did it anyway. He was prodigal in his generosity, although I think that those listening to the parable originally might have thought a better word than generous was foolhardy. The younger son goes off, he runs through that money in reckless living, and he ends up having to work with pigs, and he's still hungry. But when he came to himself, he decides to go home. Now, it's unclear whether he's repentant or not. The motive in the parable for going home is that he thinks he'll be better off at home, even as a servant, than he is where he is. The younger son rehearses a speech about sinning against the father. But is that from remorse, or is he practicing a speech to manipulate the father? Interestingly, though the parable about the lost sheep and the lost coin mention repentance, this parable does not. Nowhere in the parable of the prodigal son is repentance mentioned. Repentance is not necessary for the father to love his children extravagantly. The father sees the son a long way off and he runs to him. Now, wealthy patriarchs didn't run to anyone, let alone a son who had wished him dead and was now returning as a shameful failure. This was no typical father. Whether or not the son is repentant, it's easy to see that he's lost. And the father goes to him, and he brings him back into the family. He was dead and is alive. He was lost, and he's found. The implication for us is that no matter what our past holds, no matter how sinful we've been, God's forgiveness is bigger. We cannot out-sin God's grace. While the lavish welcome for the prodigal son is where we often focus the story, Jesus begins the parable with, there was a man who had two sons. I think because we'd rather focus on God forgiving us and lavishly welcoming us into his family when we've been lost, we focus on that half of the story. We like it. We don't want to think that we might be in the older son as well, because he's also lost. He just doesn't know it. He's stayed home, like many of us. He's worked hard, perhaps. He was obedient to the father. He's not shamed the family. He hasn't engaged in reckless living. He's followed all the rules. And now, this wild and manipulative son is the one for whom the father celebrates with the prize fattened calf. Those of us with a strong sense of fairness can relate to the older brother. Hey, that's not fair. He's confined by the same rules that his brother spurned. From his point of view, instead of feeling appreciated and celebrated by his family, they hold a big party and they don't tell him. They don't go get him, which I think says something about how alienated he is from the family. None of the servants went and got him. Remember, Jesus... Jesus is telling the parable of these two sons because the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling about Jesus spending too much time with those who seemed undeserving, those they called sinners. And like the older brother, the Pharisees followed all the rules. They didn't engage in reckless living. They considered themselves obedient to God the Father. They were the religious elite. Shouldn't Jesus be celebrating not these prodigal sinners, but them? Following the letter of the law without love is just as far from God as those who sin in more obvious ways, because we're all sinners and we're all lost. Those of us in the church can get caught in the trap that the older brother finds himself in. We follow rules, but we don't always spend time on relationship. We give, but it may be more perfunctory than cheerful or sacrificial. We give up things for Lent, but may not focus on filling the void with Jesus. We read scriptures, check that box off day after day, but are not always transformed by the living word. We can be resentful of those who seem to have more blessings than we do. And we can be angry that our prayers aren't answered the way we want. We think because we have been faithful, or at least in our minds we've been faithful, day after day, year after year, we should be exempt from bad things happening, or that God should answer our prayers in our timing. The older brother thought he was justifiably angry. Because the inheritance had already been split, he knew that everything the father spent on this prodigal brother would come out of the family's wealth, out of his inheritance. He's thinking in rather selfish terms rather than family terms. Because just like his younger brother, the older brother sees the father as a source of wealth. And he's resentful. He refuses to go into the house where the celebration is taking place. And the father leaves the party to go out and talk to the older son. He's trying to convince him to come in. The son complains to the father that all these years he has served him, gotten nothing in return, not even a young goat. He wasn't the disobedient one. He hasn't wasted his father's wealth in reckless living. How dare the father celebrate this prodigal son and not him? The problem with following rules for rules' sake is that obedience isn't usually what drives us to our knees in front of God. I love the father's response. He assures the older brother of his generosity towards him, as well as with a blessing. Son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. The older son isn't overlooked. He's not unloved. He already has everything the father has. He just doesn't see it. The father's generosity is not just to the younger son, but has always been to the older one as well. And the father cannot imagine celebrating without both of his sons there. Celebrating one son does not diminish the other. The father's love is big enough for both. He wants to celebrate with the older son. The story is left unfinished. We don't know if the older son listened to the father who had left home to meet not just his prodigal son, but for the older one as well. I hope that the older son didn't let his resentment and jealousy keep him from being part of the family and the feast celebrating the one who was lost being found. But, like the Pharisees who had the Son of God right in front of them and missed it, because they were overly focused on rules and what they thought it would be, I suspect the older son misses out on the father's amazing grace because he can't see beyond his own interest. The generosity, love, and relationship that Jesus is pointing to here might be called scandalous grace. It's outrageous, it's unmerited, it's indiscriminate, it's irrational, it's unfair, it's immeasurable, like our prayer of thanksgiving says. One might even say it is prodigal love. Just like the younger son didn't deserve the father's grace after what he had done, no one deserves the kind of grace that God gives us. We can't earn it, no matter how good we are. God's love and grace is far beyond anything we can imagine. And this is the God that Jesus is preaching about. For those who know they are lost and undeserving, this is great news. The lost are sought out by Jesus, and this scandalous grace is celebrated. But for those who don't know they're lost, it's very hard to be found because they're not looking and they're not letting themselves be known. They're focusing on the wrong things. The reaction by the older brother tells us more about the shocking nature of God's grace, its indifference to how we define fairness, and its disregard of sinful past than any theology textbook. I think it's easy for us to write off the older son, thinking, well, he's particularly self-righteous. But let's face it, we probably relate more to him than we would like. If this was you, would you really celebrate the wild brother? From our vantage point outside the parable, we can see the whole story. We know that we are often the younger son wanting our father's forgiveness. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think we are also the older brother, sometimes resentful and angry that life hasn't gone our way, even when we've been faithful. And Jesus invites those listening then and now to identify with all of the characters. We are called to see ourselves in the younger son, whose circumstances are a product of his own poor decisions, and in the older son who has become bitter and fears being overlooked despite all he's done. I've had that fear. We also are called to model ourselves like the father who leaves his comfortable home to bring in the lost and those who feel forsaken. We're called to leave our comfort zones too. We're called to seek out the lost, whether they know it or not, those lost and those feeling forsaken. Wherever you are today, God's scandalous grace is available to you, no matter what lies in your past. It's available to you who have always been in the church, but feel sometimes, perhaps, like you are going through the motions. Perhaps you are angry or resentful about prayers unanswered or being overlooked or unappreciated. It's available no matter where you are, and it's available for us to give to others. What a privilege that is. Jesus is inviting everyone to come into the feast to celebrate. We only have to choose to go. I want to close with the words to a favorite hymn. I'm going to read them rather than sing them because I want you to listen to the words, but you'll know them. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.